This is episode 87 of Beyond the Bulletin, published May 7th, 2021. Hello and welcome to episode 87 of Beyond the Bulletin. From the University of Waterloo, I'm Brandon Sweet, editor of the Daily Bulletin.
And from Media Relations, I'm Pamela Smythe.
On this podcast, we go beyond the pages and pixels of the Daily Bulletin to inform you about important news and views from our community.
In the interview, I speak with Kathy Newell Kelly, University Registrar, about 20 years of Quest.
Thank you for joining us as we go beyond the bulletin.
Hey, you want to see what I got?
Yes.
Look what I got in the mail today. From our friends at the library, as a thank you for hosting the town hall that they had.
Oh, a library mask featuring the Dana Porter Library.
Yes, it's wonderful. That is awesome. Anyway, I love it. So I'm going to be posting a picture of it on Twitter.
It's, librarians would need to remain masked when they go shh to people who are being too loud, right? Let's look at what's been happening. Hot on the heels of the Board of Governors' recent approval of a new basic vision care plan for staff, faculty, and their eligible dependents, the School of Optometry and Vision Science is offering a discount on comprehensive eye exams to Waterloo faculty and staff.
Currently, the cost of a comprehensive eye exam at the university's clinics is $100. However, the school will be discounting the cost of eye exams to university employees and eligible dependents to $85, effective May 1st. Employees will also receive a discount of 10% on all purchases made from the clinic's optical dispensary. You can schedule an appointment at the main clinic on Columbia Street or the downtown Kitchener Health Sciences Optometry Clinic by going to the School of Optometry and Vision Science website. We'll put the link in our show notes.
The W Store team wants to show their appreciation for the hardworking University of Waterloo staff and faculty who continue to support the campus community through an incredibly challenging year.
Waterloo staff and faculty were invited to enjoy up to 30% off select campus favorites online. The sale runs until Friday, May 7th, which is the day this podcast goes live, so you better hurry up. We'll put the link in our show notes on SoundCloud.
Which reminds me, it's that time of year again, and by that I mean goose nesting season.
Yikes! Dun, dun, dun.
Or should you say honk, honk, honk? And in a new university tradition, the W Store has been releasing a goose-inspired collection these past few years to celebrate or serve as a warning to people who might be on campus near some of those nesting geese.
The Honk If You Miss U Waterloo collection allows university students, staff, and faculty to take home a piece of campus life, goose included. What? The collection includes a t-shirt, mug, and postcard alongside other goose-inspired campus favorites. The full collection is now available online.
Honk. I'm trying to think back to my first close encounter with a nasty goose on campus. There was one time where I was slowly driving through a parking lot and a goose got really upset and charged my van. I was like, what are you thinking? But I was still scared.
You were scared.
I clicked the lock button on the car. And so it was like that movie with the Chevy Chase movie Vacation. Roll them up. Over in the parking lots across the street from South Campus Hall, I think A and B lots, geese were sitting atop people's cars.
I like remember.
Settling in. Oh, yeah.
I used to park in A-Lot.
A-Lot. So, surprisingly, I guess it's because of its proximity to the park, Waterloo Park, but it got a lot of wildlife. Like, there were deer that would often walk through there, as well as the geese. Hmm. I would take a deer over a goose any day.
Maybe it was a goose who keyed my car on Random Acts of Kindness Day.
Wow. Random Acts of Gooseness.
That makes so much sense now.
President Ferdinand Hamdeloper sent a message to employees last week outlining some of the university's plans for increasing on-campus work in the fall term and beyond.
The president's memo starts off with some recognition that the nature of work at Waterloo has changed. While a significant number of people have continued to work on campus to ensure physical operations continue uninterrupted and to support key services for students and research, many others have been working from home offices, kitchen tables, bedrooms, basements. Present.
It's almost like work from home bingo. Where have you worked? Kitchen table? Check. Bedroom? Check. Basement? Check. More employees are anticipated to join those whose on-campus work has continued throughout the pandemic shutdown in order to support on-campus experiences for students in the fall term. In his memo, the president said, and I quote, "Leaders across the university are planning for a gradual transition to more employees on campus. We remain focused on keeping you safe and well. This means we'll stay adaptable to public health guidelines as well as student needs."
The president also encourages employees to get vaccinated as soon as you have the opportunity. If you need time away from work to get the shot, the university is offering 2 hours of leave for your vaccination appointments. These hours will not come off of any other leave balances. If you need more time, please talk to your supervisor to work out your plan to get a shot. And on the matter of working at the kitchen table, just a reminder that we ran our work from home ergonomics interview with Andrew Shifley from the safety office in both episodes 39 and 51. It was so important, we ran it twice.
Now, here's what's coming up. The School of Public Health and Health Systems is hosting a Hallman Lecture and panel discussion on COVID-19 in Indigenous communities on May 19th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. with keynote speaker Perry Bellegarde, National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations.
The pandemic has had devastating and unique impacts on Indigenous communities, particularly with the loss of respected elders and knowledge holders. These impacts bring to light critical opportunities for learning and advocating for a wide diversity of First Nation families and communities. I do recall, not to refer back again to yet another episode, but I remember Heather McDougall told us in episode 68 about the loss of traditional knowledge that happened during the Spanish flu pandemic as well. It also had a devastating effect. So this should be a very interesting discussion.
This Hallman Lecture will include a dialogue on the COVID-19 response, followed by a panel discussion on other national as well as regional successes and challenges.
You must register for this event in advance. We'll put the link in our episode show notes on SoundCloud.
And finally, just a reminder that the Return to Campus Town Hall is set to take place on Tuesday, May 11th at 1:30 p.m. on Microsoft Teams.
It's a popular one, and there's still time to register. We'll put the registration link in our show notes.
And now the interview. As the song goes, it was 20 years ago today. Well, all right, if we're splitting hairs, it wasn't exactly today. But it has been 20 years since the university launched Quest, our student information system. From admission to convocation, Quest is the system for student records, course selection, finances, and more. Kathy Newell Kelly, the university registrar, was part of its implementation 2 decades ago and is here to discuss its central role at Waterloo and the inevitability of university life after Quest.
Welcome to the podcast, Kathy.
Thanks, Pamela. I'm excited to be here.
Are we celebrating Quest?
Yes, we are celebrating Quest. I mean, it's done so much for our students and for our processes, our academic administrative processes on campus for 20 years now. So I think it's worth a celebration, absolutely.
I hope there's cake.
Maybe if we weren't all interacting digitally right now, there probably would be cake.
Digital cake. How important is Quest to the day-to-day operations of the university for those who don't really get the scope of it?
So Quest is critical to all of the academic side administration for the university. So it supports the efforts of students, faculty, and many, many staff across the campus.
In what way?
For students, it's really their academic record, and it also supports the ways that they register for classes, the ways that they access their transcript, for example, both official and unofficial. It's the way that they will be convocated at the end of their academic journey. For faculty, it's the way that we manage course schedules and grades uploading. Quest provides class lists, for example, to Learn, which is the learning management system on campus. It manages all of the drops and adds and so on from that. So it really enables Learn to serve up the course content to students and faculty as well. And then faculty upload their grades at the end of the term through Quest. And then staff, of course, I mean, that varies across campus, but for my team, just about the entire team, I've got about 140 in the registrar's office, and my marketing and undergrad recruitment folks don't really use Quest, although they use the data from Quest, but everybody else does. You know, it really manages their day-to-day activity. And that would be true in the grad studies and postdoctoral affairs office as well. It supports academic advisors, as an example, who are supporting students with questions about their degree progression. It's the way that the academic advisors would access where the student is at in completing their degree requirements, for example, how they're doing academically, whether or not they need different kinds of supports. Student finance is also managed through Quest. So the student tuition fee bills come through Quest. Payments are all online, of course. It's really the entire student life cycle academically is managed through Quest. There are many, many systems that integrate with Quest besides Learn. It's the largest enterprise system on campus. And part of that is large in terms of the numbers of people who interact with it and large in terms of the number of systems that are supported by Quest and interface with Quest. Housing would be another example of an interface that's fairly critical to students on campus. So
it sounds like a massive collaboration between different parts of the university.
Yeah, I think that's one of the outstanding highlights of Quest. Actually, it's been a massive collaboration since its first inception. So, because it touches so many across campus, when we implemented Quest the implementation activities happened through the late 90s, and we went live in September 2001. And so, for the four or five years preceding that, it was a collaboration between the many units across, so registrar's office, clearly, grad studies and postdoctoral affairs, IAP was at the table, student finance was at the table, and of course, many from IST, both, you know, from the project management side of things all the way through to all of the technical supports that had to exist, and faculty were also represented at the table. So massive collaboration around what the requirements were for a student information system. And then through the analysis of what was the best system for the university to choose, and then all of the implementation work that had to be done, the customizations, the, you know, special builds for Quest to meet our needs specifically. And that collaboration has continued throughout the past two decades, actually. So there is now a student information system steering committee that has representation from those same groups around the table. And we meet monthly and talk about, you know, whatever the issues du jour may be, as well as, you know, starting to talk about what the future might look like. From the time I became registrar in 2017, I've said that student experience has to be at the forefront of what drives our priorities. But the very close second to that is business process efficiency, because anything that we can do to improve efficiency for staff who do spend their day working there also has a knock-on positive effect to student experience. So there have been a few things that have happened more recently to try and improve those processes. So one example that students would have certainly valued that so benefited both student experience and staff processing is the creation of proof of enrollment letters. So our student service center, the center, which is our front face to the RO, our front end GSPA, is the front face to student administrative support. One of the biggest requests, one of the highest volume requests that we received was for a proof of enrollment letter. And students need this, for example, to have access to their education savings. International students need it for entry into the country or for, you know, student study permit reasons, all of those kinds of things. So we would process 20,000 of those in a year and all manual up until a year or so ago. Oh. And that took time for the student. It took time for staff. Now that has been a self-service module has been built so that students can just go online, say, I need a proof of enrollment letter and get it automatically. So that has saved, it saved an FTE in the student service center and provided infinitely more timely service for students.
Hmm. So it wasn't like ready to go right from the minute we got it. There are a number of people who had to work together to customize it, I guess, to Waterloo's needs, right?
Absolutely, Pamela. It, in fact, back in the late 90s, we did an awful lot of customization of the package so that it would meet our needs at the time. And in the late 90s, when I was part of that implementation team, I was actually working for distance and continuing ed. And so that's the context that I especially understand the customization from, because distance and continuing education in the 90s allowed students to take courses from wherever they lived. But the way that they did that was by receiving a cardboard box in the mail with a set of audio cassettes and print-based course notes, sometimes dead fly kits, sometimes rock kits, depending on sometimes lab kits, depending on what the course was about. And assignments were submitted manually by mail to our office, and then returned by mail after the instructors had graded them. So that was kind of the shape of distance courses at that time. And that meant that we needed the student information system to help us manage all of that activity. So we had bolt-ons, what we called then bolt-ons to the student information system, customized to help us manage the inventory going out to students and coming back from students, assignments going out and coming in, examinations that were managed at a distance. So that's just one example of our tuition calculation framework was all customized at the time as well to accommodate the way that we manage tuition calculation on this campus, and partly because PeopleSoft was an American product, and so there were differences in how financial aid and that sort of thing was managed. So lots and lots of customization that went into the product as it was being prepared to launch in fall of 2001.
Can you explain what PeopleSoft is?
So PeopleSoft is the software that is the student information system. It's an Oracle product, and it comes with a number of modules. You choose what you want to implement of those modules, which the university did, and then we built customizations on top of those to support all of the administration, the academic administration of the campus. Quest is the label that we have given to the PeopleSoft product. We like to name things in the same way that Learn is actually Desire to Learn's Brightspace product.
Rock packages and dead fly packages. What do I want to know what that is?
Yeah. Yeah, back in the day when everything was physical, we had this awesome course that included, besides those audio cassettes and print-based notes, they would actually get a cardboard box full of rocks. And
mail carrier.
And they paid a deposit. Students had to put a deposit down on those kits that they had returned to them when they returned the rock kit. But part of the process was that we had to send those rock kits to the faculty member who taught the course, who would confirm that the rocks that we got back were the rocks that we sent out and not the rocks off the kids' driveway. And then they would get their refund back. And likewise, a biology course that included dead flies that would be examined under a microscope that they also were loaned as part of the course. It was interesting times for sure.
What other things would surprise students now?
Sure. So, I mean, I was a student myself, a mature student in the early 90s before Quest existed. I remember having to go to the arts undergrad office and get this little newsprint booklet that had all of the course index numbers in it every term, and hand filling a form that indicated the courses I wanted to take and handing that in to a person at a desk by the appropriate deadline. And then I would wait. I would get mailed to me my print-based schedule that was, you know, a green and white document with blocks of my courses in it. And then below it, below the schedule, the week schedule at a glance would be the notation about the courses that I didn't get into because they didn't fit my schedule. And then I would have to go back and meet with an academic advisor and figure out what course I could take instead that would fit my schedule. And it was a very onerous process. Whereas once Quest was implemented, students were now able to and responsible for creating their own conflict-free schedules. But if you do have a problem as a student, you can now online go in and kind of see how you can shuffle things around and what's available to you that you can fit in to your schedule to make it work for you. We've put the control in the hands of the student, which is where it should probably be. And the human element in terms of faculty advisors, they're still there. They're still available to students.
Two decades on,
Quest has served us well. I think it's holding up well. There are always, as I said in the outset, there are always things that we can improve and would like to improve and do differently. But we have definitely begun the conversations about what's next. So the next generation of student information system, because this one has a shelf life. That is likely going to be the end of this decade. That may seem like a far away timeline, but it is a massive project to replace Quest. Quest will touch the lives of students, faculty, and staff as it does, and therefore consultations regarding what the new system needs to do, what we would like it to do, will involve students, faculty, and staff. It will be a multi-year project as it was in the 90s. We are wisely starting to talk about that now and how we prepare for that, how we get ourselves set up for success with the right team in place to help us through that massive project. Those people who are seconded need to have enough knowledge of how we do things and why we do things the way we do, but yet be open to, you know, are there better ways of doing things? Be open to change. We don't want to just implement and build a new system just because that's the way we've always done it, but to take the opportunity to examine the way that we do things and whether or not there are better ways that we can be approaching those activities. So it's, you know, it's, again, it's business process improvement as well as student experience. You know, those are our guideposts as we go forward as well.
Why are its days numbered?
The big evolution of late, of course, is everything in the cloud. The next product will be a cloud-based product. I'm pretty confident in saying that. And even, you know, Oracle's PeopleSoft product, the next version of it is a cloud-based product. But that is a completely new implementation. It's not a quote unquote upgrade. It means that we shouldn't just automatically go there. We need to go back to market and see what else, what are the other products that are out there in the student information system space, and what is going to be best for Waterloo moving forward.
Well, you know, you were saying the end of the decade isn't that far away. It may seem like far away, but it really isn't. I think it isn't, but then I didn't think 1991 was all that long ago either.
Well, and I would argue that we've just lost a year. This pandemic, it just has been going on forever, and it seems like a blink in some ways as well. When I think about how the University of Waterloo has been able to weather the pandemic, we have been in a very fortunate position. From my perspective, twofold. One is our very large footprint in online learning. And I'll tell you, I never would have dreamt when I became registrar in 2017 that my 21 years of experience in online learning would be so pivotal to my registrarial role. So the fact that we had a very strong footprint in online learning, a very strong team in helping to develop online learning, fared us well as an institution through the pandemic when everything needed to become online. But the second thing is we had already transitioned our processes, our administrative processes, to digital. And so, you know, there, when I speak to my colleagues across the province, not all of them were in the same place to be able to even manage admissions remotely for their staff without having people in the office to process paper. And we have very, very little paper left in the process for even admissions. Everything's been moved into the digital world, and that's because of Quest and all of the integrated systems that support Quest and our processes from admissions through to records management through to right up to convocation.
All right. Well, I really appreciate your time, Kathy.
My pleasure.
It's been wonderful talking to you about this because I don't use Quest, but I had no idea really how important it is and will continue to be going into the future. So good luck on the next version.
We had a lot of fun in that big room on the fourth floor of Math and Computer in those early days. And I'm sure that the next team will have lots of fun together as well. Thanks a lot, Pamela.
Well, that about wraps it up for us this week. You can find all of our past shows and helpful links on SoundCloud.com. To ensure you don't miss an episode, please subscribe to the Beyond the Bulletin podcast wherever you get your podcasts and recommend us to your colleagues and Waterloo alumni.
Stay safe, everyone, to limit the spread of COVID-19 in our community. You can get in touch with us via email at bulletin@uwaterloo.ca.
As always, thanks for listening as we went Beyond the Bulletin. So I usually think of quests as involving swords, shields, and maybe a dungeon with a dragon at the end of it.
It's because you're a nerd.
Very funny. 20 years is a particularly long quest.